Adventures that we experience have a way of living on in our memories, built out of moments that we'll never forget. Moments when we choose to take risk instead of safe harbor. Journeying to places we've never been. Doing things we've never done. And with the start of each new journey comes a choice to find our adventure.
Good morning, everybody. Right before this happened in that bumper video, Jill and I both went like this, like newscasters. This is my friend Jill Fox. She's the pastor of Next Gen Ministries, and we're up here to lead us through the final week of this Find Your Adventure series, and I want to welcome everybody to this room and everybody over at Woodside and at Minnetonka and anybody who's online. We're just so happy that you've joined us on this beautiful Labor Day Sunday, and I hope it's a really meaningful day for you as well. This series has been about us learning to find our place in God's greater adventure of changing the world and making it like heaven, and learning about what it looks like for us to volunteer our lives to that end. God has always used us, people, average, ordinary people, to change the world, and that's still true today. And the invitation along the way has been for you to find your place and what that looks like. We're doing this series in August on purpose because we're about to enter into a ministry season this fall. We're pretty much already there. And we want to do so in a robust way with you involved. And our hope is that God would prompt you, and that's been our prayer, and nudge you along the way, maybe to get into volunteering if you're not in there yet. And if you are, to listen to his voice in terms of how he might want to enrich what it looks like for you to lead. Volunteering changes us as it changes the world. And Jill and I are up here really as products of what God does as you step forward and volunteer.
Yeah, I met Brian Suter at Bethel University when we were both students. Now, I know you're going to find this hard to imagine, but Brian was really loud in college. Can you believe that? I also was really loud in college. So we both got recruited to work with high school students with a ministry called Young Life. And with Young Life, their goal, their angle is to work with kids that maybe don't have experience with church for students. So every single Monday night, Brian and I would pack up cars and we'd go with other volunteers to someone's basement. We'd set everything up and get ready for about 100 students to show up. Then it would be a time of worship. Brian would often lead worship. Then one of us would teach or one of the other volunteers would teach. But then throughout the rest of the week, we would spend time with students. We'd go to their ball games, their music events. Sometimes we would just meet them for coffee, but we were in their lives. And as we were prepping for this and reflecting back on that season for us of volunteering in ministry, it was kind of fun because we both realized it was through Young Life that both of us really realized we wanted to be in ministry. We wanted to be pastors. And both of us today love what we do. I am the Next Gen pastor, so this Thursday night was a really big night for us here on our Chanhassen campus. And I want to tell you why. If you went in our lower level below and you went back to the area where all of our students meet at, you would have seen rooms that were filled with volunteers. All of our student ministry leaders were together getting ready for the fall because the students are coming soon. But there was another thing happening on that night in a room upstairs that some of you probably don't know about. On September 1st, we officially launched the Westwood Intern and Residency Program here. We already have interns that are here in-house, and we're bringing more in, and we already have two residents here. And that team of volunteers that was meeting in a room, their whole role with that program is to love and encourage and pray for our interns and residents. When I left here on Thursday night, I was crying when I drove home, because I was reflecting on what so many of you guys do. You show up for our kids, our students, and you lead for new programs like our intern and residency program. And we couldn't do anything that we do without you. So today I want to say thank you to all of you who serve in that area.
Yeah, and as we jump into today, I want to invite you to take out your teaching notes and grab a note or two that might be helpful for you as you seek to live this out after we all leave today. And as we close the series today, what we want to do is celebrate what God has done. We want to lift up volunteers, as you've already heard some of the stories that we have been impacted by. But the other thing that we want to do is give you one final appeal for you to join us on your adventure here at our church and even beyond. Since we started this series 3 weeks ago, 222 people have indicated that they want to step forward to volunteer who are not volunteering currently. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
we can clap for that. Pretty profound. That's a lot of people, and there's a lot of stories behind that. A couple weeks ago at both our Minnetonka and Chanhassen campuses, we hosted an event called Team Night. We heard about God's vision for our future, and we leaned in to learn about all of our individual parts of that. Over 500 people came to that, and currently at Westwood, we have around 1,600 people that are volunteering in various roles. It's a lot of people, and behind all of those numbers, the most important part are the stories that are represented in those numbers. I get to serve in our adult ministry, and when I think about volunteers and volunteerism, I think about Marilyn. Marilyn is in her 80s, and she served in a variety of roles here as a volunteer. She has stuffed the programs that you hold in your hands this morning. She has helped prepare volume ones that you might take home with you to help you to find your next step. She has assisted with food and atmosphere for events that are really important for our future in so many different roles. And when I'm going about my day during the week here, it's not uncommon for me to interact with her. And every time I do, my spirit is lifted a little bit. You have people like that in your life? Just a small, tiny interaction can change the course of your day. And one of the things that Marilyn has had as important to her throughout her life is volunteering, so much so that for us, she created a form to submit our volunteer requests to her to be able to fulfill. On it, she has a description of whatever the volunteer request is, a date to give her an understanding of when it would be due and when it would need to be completed. And then we take that form and we put it in her hanging file here at church. She comes on Mondays and Fridays and picks it up and responds promptly and fills just about every single role that we ask her into. And at the bottom of this form, she writes in bold letters, "Thank you for the privilege of serving." I'm gonna frame that sheet someday. But for now, I'll use scotch tape so that I don't forget about Marilyn's story and the story of what could be possible if we were to step forward with that same enthusiasm. Volunteering changes the world, and it changes us. You know, when we step forward and make our lives available for God's purposes through volunteering in whatever way that that manifests itself, there are benefits that come our way. We receive some things. And throughout this morning, what we want to do is call out some of those things that we receive. It's not about us, but it is about fuel. It is about blessings that God gives to us along the way in order to sustain us. So here are a few of them that we want to raise. There's many more, but we have time for about four. The first benefit is that volunteering brings wellness. Wellness is kind of a buzzword in our day and age, and it oftentimes gets equated to physical wellness, which includes exercise and eating vegetables and a lot of other things. And that's very important because our bodies and our souls are really interconnected. But when it comes to God's definition for wellness, it goes a little bit further than our physical nature. It goes into our soul, and God has created every single one of us to live in His rhythm, which His rhythm is that He gives to us, we receive it. And then out of what God has given to us in His generous resources, in His gifting, in His talents that He's wired into us, but also the financial and beyond resources that we have, we give away with this grounding conviction that we cannot outgive God, and then God gives again. Jesus talked about this in the importance of living both of those two things out, the first of which I want to call out in Acts 20, verse 35. This is Paul writing here. He says, "In everything I did, Paul, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus Himself said." That's what Jesus said. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, it's not uncommon for me to hear somebody comment about that, whether they're a volunteer here at Westwood, when they say, "You know, sometimes I feel kind of selfish because I feel like I'm getting so much more than I'm giving." Or, for instance, when people go on global mission trips and they serve people throughout the world, it's not uncommon for them to reflect on the weight of their preparation being solely focused on what they're going to be able to give to people who are in need. But when they get back, what's eclipsed from that is how much God blessed them through the people that they went to serve. You receive more than you give, because that's the picture of the rhythm that we have. If we're giving, we're receiving. Luke 6:38, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What's Jesus saying here? When you give, you receive as much, if not more, than what you give away. We're meant to be vessels. That's the way that God has created us. if we're receiving too much and just only focused on receiving, that's a toxic pattern for our souls. But on the other side, if we're only giving away, we run ourselves ragged and dry and weary. When we serve and we live, we're present with Jesus and we live with him and receive from him, and our souls come alive in a whole different way, in a way that you can't replace in any other manner than stepping forth and making your life available. Now, our soul benefits, but our physical body does as well. Jill, you've done some research on this. What did you find?
We found some good stuff. So let's take a look at these stats. The United Health Group conducted a national survey in 2013 on volunteering with over 3,000 adults. 76% of people who volunteered in the last 12 months say that volunteering has made them feel healthier. 78% of people who volunteered in the last 12 months say that volunteering actually lowers their stress. And 94% of people who volunteered in the last 12 months say that volunteering improves their mood. Now, we haven't stopped here. There's a couple more that are good. The U.S. Center for Disease Control reported that states with a high volunteer rate also have lower rates of mortality and incidences of heart disease. And our personal favorite, giving time to a religious organization had the greatest impact overall on a person's level of happiness. There is a reason Brian and I are so happy.
Oh, man, most of the time.
Speak for yourself, Brian Suter.
I hear that, and I think, you know, it's really no accident. God created us for this in mind, and our whole being benefits when we give ourselves away. I think one of the reasons why that last statistic comes in with so much weight is because of the next benefit that we receive when we make our lives available, and that volunteering brings community. There's a sense of togetherness when we're on mission. All of us are looking for a cause that's larger than ourselves. We begin our lives in search of that. And at various times in our lives, we might have seasons and chapters when we don't feel connected to that, and our souls and our minds get a little bit restless. But when we find that and we begin to move forward, one of the gifts that comes along the way is really meaningful friendship. And it makes our work more impactful, and it helps us to come alive in a brand new way. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. Says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, you may have heard this passage before, and there's a chance that you may have even heard it in a wedding before, because that's one of the applications of this passage. And that's a wonderful and beautiful description of what it looks like to live out a marriage that's connected with Jesus. But there's more to it. When you read the context of Ecclesiastes, you start pretty early by recognizing that this is actually a pretty dark book. One of the most frequently used words in the first three chapters is the word meaningless. And at one point, it reaches a crescendo, and the author says, everything is meaningless. So if it's left there, it's a pretty bleak book, because isolation is present. Difficult work is present. But both of those things leave the room when the primary thing happens, that we are met in our isolation with partnership with other people. Two are better than one. There's greater return. Work is easier. Work is more impactful, in whatever way that manifests itself for us. And when we serve, we do so with others, and we find friends that are together for a meaningful purpose. There is no crucible like the crucible of relationships of people that are pursuing a cause with one another. The work of our heads, hands, and hearts gets increased, and we belong to something larger than just ourselves, and we get a central need of our souls met. Now, the third benefit that we receive when we volunteer is that volunteering brings learning. You might be going throughout this sermon series, and you might be hearing some things, you might be getting prompted, there might be some nudges and some tugs in your heart to step forward and do so. And our prayer is that you would have the boldness and the courage to indicate that even this morning, and we'll come up later and we'll share with you how you can do that. But if that be your journey, and if that has been your journey throughout this month, be ready for an education, because that's a surprise that comes your way. One of the first ways that manifests itself is that you learn about yourself. Mark Twain wrote, "The two most important days of your life are the day that you're born and the day that you find out why." And I just don't think that there's any other way to discover one's purpose than just to put one foot in front of the other and make yourself available for the purposes of God, to be able to make this world like it is in heaven, as Jesus has called us to pray. In our home, in our garage, there's a tool kit, and in that tool kit is a hammer, and my wife put a little verse on there to help our kids to memorize some scripture passages, and it's Ephesians 2:10, and here's what it says: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And I'm so thankful for that hammer because of what it means. A hammer's awesome, but it's not super awesome until you use it. It's a great decoration, right? Kind of. But you don't understand the purpose of the hammer until you begin to pound a nail and you see the potential that that hammer has. And the same is true for how God has created us. It's not until we step forward, sometimes not having it all figured out, actually most of the time not having it all figured out. And we begin to serve, and God meets us in a profound and powerful manner to be able to help us to explore how he has made us for a purpose and for a reason. And oftentimes that reason is to go into a place that needs to look more like heaven every single day. And we get mentioned, or we get an example of that all the time. So we learn about ourselves, but then we learn about ourselves and how we relate to other people. You know, Jill mentioned that she and I were on a team of mostly college students that were serving together to lead this ministry, Young Life. And one of the things that we learned very quickly was how to work with different personalities, because there were some different personalities.
Just a few of them. Just a few different personalities.
And one of the things that we learned how to work around, too, were different scenarios that we were presented with that we didn't know, because there were plenty of them when you try to jam 100 students into a small basement. And then the other thing that we learned about was how to work through conflict as you're serving together. And we had some conflicts along the way. Mm-hmm. And it was really meaningful to hear and feel and see what God built into us then that still serves us really to this day. Now, there's no learning like the learning that comes from doing. And there's more to this aspect, and Jill's going to carry on with the message in just a moment. But along the way in this Find Your Adventure series, we have interviewed a volunteer every week. And we've been blessed by hearing their stories of volunteering, how they arrived there, and what God is doing in and amongst their midst. And the same is true for today. We're going to interview someone who serves in a way that you see the fruits of what they do, but you actually don't ever see these people. They're kind of a group of unsung heroes, if you will. And we all are blessed in benefiting of what they serve in and how they serve every single week. And this person that we're interviewing today is scheduled to serve today, and he cannot leave his post. So rather than have him come up to the stage, I'm going to go find him and interview him where he's serving and kind of give you a window into what life is like where they serve. So Jill's going to carry on with
have
the rest
fun, Brian.
Of our message.
See you soon.
I'm going to, and I'm going to be happy about it too.
You will be happy about it. One of the other things you learn about when you volunteer is the world. When you understand that God created you to serve, like Brian talked about from Ephesians 2:10, that should give you confidence that God has a place for you to use your gifts, your abilities, and those skills that he's given to you. And for each of us, those places may look different, but there's one thing that I have learned and that I've valued over the years. Wherever it is you are volunteering at, there is something to be learned. And sometimes we learn really fun things. Like when you go overseas on a missions trip, you learn about a new culture, what people like to do, what they like to eat, how they spend their time. And if you volunteer in a nursing home, you learn from the people that live there how life once was and how that impacts today. And that helps to give really good perspective. For me, I learned something very important this last year when I volunteered with our senior high ministry with a group of girls. I learned very quickly which one of my Adidas tennis shoes were cool in the world and which ones were not. Very important. But one of the most beautiful things we learn about the world when we volunteer is to see the world as God sees it. We can better understand how others are hurting and in need of a savior, and we can better understand that God is restoring and he's healing the broken things in this world. And often part of his plan to heal and to restore is to use us when we volunteer. A woman I know that lives in a small community had heard the kids were having a hard time focusing in school because they were hungry. And when she looked around her world, she didn't see that, but she heard it, so she thought, well, maybe we should do something about it. So with a group of people, they got together and started a food shelf. On the first night when they opened that food shelf, a mom came walking in with her little girl. The little girl looked up and she saw the food and she said, look, Mommy, we get to eat tonight. The mom's life was impacted. The little girl's life was impacted. But so was the volunteers. The woman who volunteered began to see the world different. She began to see the world the way God does. And she wanted to be part of the story where God is bringing healing to the places that hurt. One of the amazing things about when you start to see the world the way God does is that you actually can see easier how he has a purpose for you in it. And today, you get to hear from Mike. Mike knows that God has a purpose for him in this world. So, Brian, are you there?
We are here, Jill, and I'm in one of the coolest rooms here at Westwood. This is our video control room where I'm joining a bunch of people who are serving out of their gifts and talents so that we can see what we see and experience what we do every Sunday. And our guest this morning is Mike Gierman. Mike and his family have been at Westwood since 2003, and they live in Chaska. And Mike runs the visuals that we see when we're here every Sunday. So Mike, thank you for serving, and thanks for being willing to share your story. Would you just summarize your journey to serving in the role that you do today?
Yeah, I kind of started here at Westwood in 2006. My sister kind of gave me a little CD from the worship choir. And said, hey, listen to this, and if you're interested, we've got practice coming up this Wednesday. Join us and see what you think. So I did, and really liked it, and joined the choir, and I've been singing with the choir and other avenues of the choir since. Along the way, a couple of years ago, Dan West, our video producer, had a call out for volunteers for the tech team. So I answered the call, and wouldn't you know it, I get scheduled, and I actually shadow someone for the first time, and then the next week I'm scheduled to go on it on my own. So I've been doing that now at least once or twice a month for almost 2 years.
So over the last 2 years, when you've served those once or two times per month, you push a lot of buttons and you show a lot of visuals. How do you see that impacting people?
Well, I feel as though we're kind of an expression of what goes on out front, whether it be the words on the screen so everybody can sing along with the worship and be a part of it, as well as be a part of the message that is out there. So that way they can connect with the overall message.
One of the benefits that we've talked about this morning is how when you volunteer your life, you experience community. Back here in the tech ministry, how have you experienced community as you've served?
When you volunteer, even back here or wherever you volunteer, you're not really looking for any recognition. You're looking to serve. And when you serve, your circle of friends evolves, your circle of influence. So that friendship even goes outside the doors when you leave church and grows exponentially. So there's some really good friendships that evolve out of that.
Now, sometimes I've heard a story about how you serve back here and you join in the singing and sometimes you dance in your chair. That's off camera right now. And that reached a crescendo recently at a very exciting gathering that we had in the beginning of the summer. What was that? And there might be video of it too, by the way.
Well, it was VBS this past summer, and it's the first time I volunteered for VBS with the tech team and running the same thing I'm doing today. It's just so joyful to watch 700 kids out just jumping and singing their hearts out to Jesus, and even my daughter was part of it this year. She volunteered as a team lead, I think it was for the first grade, and it was fun to see her join in that volunteerism as well.
When you volunteer your life through what you're doing back here with our tech ministry, could you just summarize, what does this personally mean to you?
You know, volunteering is important. It's an expression of faithfulness to God by using the gifts that he's given me. So, you know, and I give by volunteering, know that I cannot outgive God.
That's wonderful. Well, Mike, we're really grateful for you sharing your story, and we're really thankful for the way that you serve. Mike joins in with about 50 other people who serve in our tech ministry, and 20 of those 50 are serving on any given Sunday, and we are so grateful, and I think it would be really appropriate if we could join in together and express our gratitude for everyone who serves in our tech ministry.
Does anyone else want to go with me later and go push all the buttons in that room? That's what it looks like fun to me. Well, Brian and I have shared with you today about the benefits of finding your adventure through volunteering. We've covered that volunteering brings wellness, community, and learning, but there is one more. Volunteering brings eternal benefits, and it has a return on investment that all others pale in comparison to. When the Apostle John wrote to the Gentile churches, he said this to them, "The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." 1 John 2:17. We want our life to matter. We want purpose in our life. And as followers of Jesus Christ, that comes in a way that is countercultural to the world that we live in. We choose to give our life away. We choose to serve. We do it when no one notices. We do it not for the praise of man or woman, but we do it to bring glory to God and to his purposes so that others may know him. A friend of mine, Nick, wrote a story about his father. His father was only 54 years old when he died of cancer. And my friend Nick wrote the story about what made his father happiest in life. And I want to share it with you today. It's called The 100 Years Game. My first memories as a child are of my dad at church. He was a volunteer youth leader in the late 70s and early 80s at a small rural church in an unrecognized corner of the world in which I grew up. In my mind, he is dressed in tube socks, all too short shorts, and a t-shirt, playing basketball, sitting around a campfire, caring for teenagers, telling them about Jesus. My dad's version of this little gathering of 9 to 10 kids is cramped in an attic room with a small 2-foot by 3-foot stained glass window at our small church in Iowa. The youth group grew the way all worthy growth grows, by investment, by time, by sacrifice, and by love. The letters his then-adult youth kids wrote to him when he was dying 30 years later attest to such things. That little group produced pastors, missionaries, teachers, church administrators, counselors, writers, and artists. It produced men and women of deep and abiding faith who since have spent their years paying forward the small but meaningful investment of a man who simply loved teenagers. After a long absence, I returned to that now not-so-little church in rural Iowa. It had just recently gone through a major renovation. Near the end of the tour, we climbed to the second floor, which had been sectioned off for student ministries, now reaching nearly 100 students weekly. This in a town of 350. The room was bright and full of life. At the end, there was a cramped corner with a low slanting ceiling and a small 2-foot by 3-foot stained glass window. I knew it in a moment. This was the spot where years before my father had launched a little band of Jesus-following students, a band that over the last decades had become the local revolution with hundreds of lives in its wake. My dad was never very good at the kind of games which get a man a good life. He stumbled on the rungs of the corporate ladder, could never muster a scratch golf game, had a limited list of people he would even call friends. He had rough hands, and as time wore him on, life stole from him again and again. His funeral wasn't populated by the powerful. There is no marker or monument to his life's work. For a number of years, he made his living picking up trash. But my dad was heroic at the 100 years game, the game where every move is measured, not by what it means for today, but by what it means for 10 decades, 4 generations from now, beyond his lifetime. He planted seeds in soils which appeared not fertile, and then he watered until something beautiful began to grow in its place. We live in a day where our actions are measured by how quickly we can get a return on investment, a proof of worth of our time, an immediate affirmation lest our self-esteem slip by a decimal point. This was not my father's game. He sat in a little room by the light of a stained glass window and played the 100 years game, a game where his every move would only be measured beyond his lifetime. There would be no accounting of his riches within the walls of his living. Every time I think of him, I am reminded of what makes a life. It is not what we do in living, it is what we do in giving. When we choose to go on our adventure,
God uses us to change people's lives, but he does not stop there. He changes our lives through it. So go find your adventure. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, I just say thank you. Thank you for being a creative God who took the time to make each of us unique with gifts, talents, abilities, skill sets. Father, I pray that we would be a community that reflects your goodness, that we would be individuals that would want to use our gifts for your glory, for your purposes, and for your kingdom, God. So, Father, use us. Use us for your good. In Jesus' name, amen.